Hey, this is Barry Edgman with Father Seekers, and you are listening to the Father Seekers podcast, Teach Me to Father. Teach Me to Father. Hey, in our last episode, we dumped so much information that we broke the internet. I'm just saying, because we have so many responses from this. We have so many one-liners that between the podcast, we've been selling t-shirts. We made millions. Just letting you know, for more information about those t-shirts, email me, Barry@fatherseekers.org. This is Barry@fatherseekers.org. This is the podcast, Teach Me to Father, and we talk about ways to teach young men, old men, middle-aged men how to be great fathers. We even talk to guys who are not fathers yet to prep them for fatherhood. That's what we're doing today, talking to my young friend and nephew, Isaiah Hennessy. We've entitled this podcast, Jesus Alpha Male, 20-something. You ever thought about when Jesus was 20?
Uh-uh, not till right now.
Like, me either. Huh. Like, your dad is a big Chosen fan. We're watching it through again, Heather and I, and it's like, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Whoa.
It's so good. Did you watch the theater season?
Not
season
yet.
5? Bro.
Yeah. It's coming out on TV streaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I want to see that.
That's good.
Yeah.
I can't wait for them. Did they release all of it yet?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like your dad. I don't want to see the ending.
No.
Like the when I saw the Passion of Christ,
yeah,
I sat in the theater, like I was the last one to leave.
Yeah.
I couldn't move.
Wow,
there's a second one coming out.
Really,
with Mel Gibson and
did he do the first one?
Mel Gibson was the producer.
Jesus? Oh, he was the producer.
Yeah, and then Caviezel was Jesus, and I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about reading Latin the whole movie, but anyway, what an impact.
Yeah.
But your dad's a Chosen nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because of that, I think a lot of us have become Chosen nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, matter of fact, it has become a cultural icon now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like infectious in the culture. And then you got all these knuckleheads trying to find something wrong with it. You know,
yeah, when they were producing it, they had blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. How about you just watch the show?
How about you not believe what your mama said and she gave you a trophy for participating? How about
Ooh.
That? Did I say that on the... I meant to say it in my head.
I'm glad you said it.
Okay.
I'm glad you said it. Trophy that you got for
your
participating.
Your mama ain't going to give you a trophy for watching. All right. So you got to engage with it. So I want to read to review... We literally, in that last, I've got blue ink all over my show notes here, but then I've got all this red ink going, ooh, that's good. Ooh, he said that. Ooh, we got to steal that. Ooh, that's a t-shirt. So I want to just read these to recap and then take us into this next movement here. You started out with God was persistent but not forceful with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a story of your life. That's very, that's perception on steroids, literally. That is having life IQ right there. Yeah, you've got your football IQ is beyond college level, I think. But that's life IQ right there. Understanding that. Then I think you said another one, the number one thing you do to discern all the voices in your life. All the voices that are accessible to your generation. Number one, you use the best fact checker ever. That's the scripture. You know, when you said that, I got sidetracked with another thought, but I thought you can literally Google. I just downloaded this AI app.
Okay. That's dangerous. Which one?
You know, the chat APT.
Chat GPT.
Chat.
It's going to take over.
So I'm telling you. I said it years ago.
Yeah.
I said it years ago. If you ever watched the movie with Will Smith.
Yep. Yep.
I said it years ago. It will happen. They're just letting us know it's about to happen. iRobot, it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to end up like Will Smith in New York City with all the zombies. I'm just letting you know. I'm just what's happening.
World War Z, or not, wasn't World War Z. That was.
That was another good movie. Which one was Legend.
It? Legend.
And 2 is coming out.
Really?
That's what I hear.
The AI is waiting for Will Smith to die before they take over because he's got something to say.
He's got something to say. Then you segued into one of your thoughts, did sensibility versus truth. Just because it makes sense doesn't mean it's true, nor should you do it, mm-hmm. right? Just because it feels good doesn't mean you should do it either.
Yeah.
So let's take the few minutes we have left. We're going to break it up into two sections. We're going to talk about practical application. What can a young guy do to not just be a Jesus guy, but prepare himself for fatherhood? Now, if a young guy says, I don't want to be a dad, he just sounded foolish because he's designed that way, right?
Yeah.
Now, some guys don't want to have children. That I'm saying in general.
Yeah.
But what we want to talk about this first round, what do young men do to prepare themselves to be Jesus alpha males, to grow in and to grow old as a wise old man? Someday you got a bunch of young men sitting around you and your kids are on the front row.
Yeah.
What do you do to prepare for that? And how do you do it? And what's some practical applications to move toward that?
Yeah. That makes me automatically think of how do I prepare myself right now to be a father? And I think it begins with being like Paul. And, you know, as he was doing the things he was doing for God, he was alone. He didn't have somebody, and he even talks about it. I think there's a time for relationship and there's a time for a family and like being with your wife and finding your wife. But he was, I mean, he says, you know, in this New Testament about if you are too weak not to be with someone, basically, then just be with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, like, be single.
Buried better to marry than to burn.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. And so I think to that, preparing yourself to be a father, I think, doesn't start with being with someone and like chiseling away at yourself and figuring out how to be a better man with a woman. I think it's being single and growing close to God and growing close to yourself before you can even think about that. I think you had mentioned about how some people don't want to be dads. I think a lot of the time the people that don't want to be dads is from a situation where they were treated poorly mm-hmm. by a figure or a father, or they've gone through so much they wouldn't want to bring kids into the world and have them feel that same thing, or they wouldn't, and or they're struggling so much they don't know how they could be good with themselves and good for others, and that's just lies from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it once you grow close to God and you grow close to yourself, then you can start the road down to fatherhood and realizing that.
Don't you think though that because of what you just said, there's a lot of guys that are promiscuous and notch up, have fun,
yeah,
do whatever you want, don't plan ahead, don't. It's sad,
yeah,
it's sad. But it seems like there's a lot of kids in the generation that preceded you, and that if things don't change, that precede you, and even your generation and my generation,
yeah,
they're just some lazy dudes, man.
Yeah.
They just don't put the work in.
No.
And I've always wondered in this context of our conversation, sometimes being lazy, doing what you want to do, doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Not to mention there's no truth in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Talk to the lazy guys. Like I think of the guys who drive Uber half a day and go through the drive thru and get 10 Culvers and go home, play video games 12 hours, like, yeah, and live in their mama's basement.
Yeah.
Like, what do we say to those guys to, like, wake up, fool, get up?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? What do you say to them? What do they do?
Well, luckily, I'm not like that anymore, but it's funny you say that part about it, and Because there was a time in my life I was struggling with a lot of things and was just like, I didn't want to do anything. I mean, I wanted to sleep all day. I wanted to do nothing and lay in my bed. And that doesn't make sense. I wanted to do nothing. I wanted to be alone. I wanted to, because it felt easier, but that doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense that I would do that. But that's what I wanted to do. I DoorDashed and then I would go back home and do nothing. And it took a rude awakening. Like I could have just done that forever because I was stuck in this loop at that point where it was my laziness became easiness and easiness became what I knew. It became the norm. And I think fear of the unknown, I think, you know, there, my dad has said this before and he may have preached about it too, but fear and faith come with the same common denominator, belief in the unknown. And I think laziness comes from that. It comes in belief in the unknown, the fear of the unknown of, well, I know this. I know what it's like to be lazy. It's easy. I know what it's like to do this. And I think for me, it took a moment where I had to get slapped in the face and go, okay, I'm either doing this or there's no going back. Like, I'm at rock bottom. I gotta go up. But for some people, they can just like float on the line. And for those people, I think it's going to take someone that you care about looking at you, or someone like a pastor or a father figure, or, you know, a position of authority saying, like, do you want to live in faith or do you want to live in fear? Do you want to live in faith of the what could come if you stepped out, or do you want to live in the fear of what will happen if I do something I'm not used to?
What you just said, all that, is what guys who end their days on a deathbed or in a rocking chair full of regret.
Yeah.
What you just said, that's all seed time and harvest for living a life on those last few minutes you are on this earth.
Yeah.
You regret. That's seed time and harvest. The regret is seed time and harvest for what you just said.
Yeah.
So there's a significant warning that we need to give today. I don't think we plan to go here, but this is where we ended up.
Yeah.
So I think one of my biggest problems with men in general, regardless of generation, is that they put more faith in escapism for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Let's throw that out there. For whatever reason.
Yeah.
And again, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes it's just because you're dumb and you do dumb stuff. That's that.
Yeah.
But what is the warning that we need to give to men? Like, wake up and go, bro. Come on. What would you say?
I would say that, and this is the visual I got in my head, but every time you're doing something to avoid bruising yourself because it's easy, and because I think when you work out, you tear muscle so that you can build it back up. When you avoid tearing muscle or working or doing something or stepping out and doing something that's going to stretch you, you're actually still getting those marks. You're still tearing those quote unquote muscles within yourself, but you're not stretching yourself out to then grow. You're just like, every time you know, and it feels like we kind of allude to that with that question to like the guys that are escaping from reality because they want to do drugs, because they want to, you know, be having sex with whoever because it feels good, and because in that moment they're escaping something, they're feeling something, they're getting something out of it instantly. It's an instant feeling that it takes you out of what you're in and takes you somewhere else. And I think every time that you go and have sex with somebody because it's easy, because you're like, well, this feels good. Well, this is taking me out of something. Like, the reality that's so hard that I don't want to experience, I'm stepping out of it and I'm allowing myself to feel something different in this moment. I'm going to have sex with this woman. You're tearing that muscle in yourself, but you're not building anything from it. you're just going to end up with all these torn muscles, and soon you're going to have all these lashes wisdom. And cuts.
So
and,
wise.
And but if you do it in the other way, if you do it in the way that you should, like when you're actually building muscle from it, in this hypothetical, you're when you stretch yourself and you go, I'm not. Society wants me to have sex. Society wants me to do drugs. It's legal. It's fine. It's from the earth. It's easy. It's accessible. It's then they want you to do it. If you step out and say, I'm not going to do it, you are stretching yourself and you're building muscle. You're not just, it's not nothing. It's not just like, I'm not doing this and everybody else isn't. And every time I tell somebody, they look at me weird. Like, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't have sex. Like, really? Like, we'll see how long that lasts. Like that's a good thing. I think that's what I would say is you are creating marks and tears and cuts within yourself when you do the wrong thing, just like when you do the right thing, but you're not building muscle. You're wasting yourself.
Very wise. Why do men justify their escapism?
Man, I think we justify, you know, because I think deep within ourselves, there's a God-shaped hole. And if you don't fill that hole with God and you try and fill it with something else, you're always going to feel like it's wrong, even if you don't necessarily believe in God. Every time you go out and have sex, you get that post-nut clarity and you go, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. Even if you don't believe in God, you go, oh man, I probably shouldn't have done that. And then that's you going, oh, or you get wake up hungover. That's your, ugh, like, mm-hmm. Oh, I did that. Like that's your, and so I think if you're, there's that God-shaped hole. And so we justify it because we feel some type of way afterwards, whether or not we want to accept the fact that the Holy Spirit's being like nudging us, like, nope, shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
We're justifying something we know is wrong, because even if we want to live in the fact that it's not wrong.
I think one of the most addictive drugs for a man is the dopamine release when he does something evil.
Evil
meaning outside of God's truth, his word, and his will.
Yeah.
Like, that's evil.
Yeah. Huh.
I think men are addicted to food, booze, drugs, porn, women, the thrill of another notch.
Yeah.
Cars, boats, guns. There's too much there.
Yeah.
Like, there's too much for a man not to be under. Here's the weird thing about the Holy Spirit and the way God created this all. Jesus said, crucify yourself daily.
Yeah.
Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ lives in me, in the life I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm to model myself after crucifixion.
Yeah.
As I'm modeling myself that way, and as I'm moving toward that, there's also, I have to be a self-crucifier of my flesh, not my sin. My sin was put on Jesus.
Yeah.
He bore my sin. But with my self-crucifying of the flesh, there's also this leaning in on the power, the empowerment, the strength, the wisdom of Holy Spirit when he says, stop.
Yeah.
Tell me about a time where you've observed that in your life where you go, oh, that's a significant moment where, and this is when in your walk with Jesus, it's like, he spoke to me. He said no. He stopped me. He empowered me to, when I was crucifying my flesh and the fight was between flesh and spirit empowerment, that's where the war is.
Yeah.
It is between us crucifying the flesh and then leaning into the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
That is like the perfect question for what I had happen. I mean, there was a, and I guess I'll just go into it, but there was a time during the last couple of years where I had pushed against God fully and didn't want anything to do with him. I believed in him, but I didn't want anything, any relationship. I was struggling. I had a lot of stuff, and that's its all own testimony. But I was looking for something. I was looking to fill a void. And I tried to fill that void with the things of the world. And that's why I can now talk about this stuff, because I had to lay it down, and it was only possible with God and going to Jesus and laying it at his feet to take it upon himself. But I was, you know, drinking and smoking, and just, I was living the worldly life that I never lived growing up, being a pastor's kid, being in the church. And then when I pushed against God, I started just doing the things I had never done. And so when that started happening, I was doing that stuff, and I'm no longer doing it. But there was a moment, and it was probably a little bit after I had given my life back to God, when I was going to school in Arizona. It's been probably almost a year now that I've been fully locked in. In March, it'll be a year, or it is March. Yeah, probably this week was like a year. I gave my life to God. There was probably 6 months after that where I went through sanctification, where I was getting closer, growing and learning more. And we were doing some stuff, and I felt like God told me, like, and on the last pod, we talked about how I feel like God whispers to me. And this was pretty clear how he talked to me this time. And it was, he just said to me, he's like, "You will not be blessed until you're of a sober mind." Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, well, dang, that's pretty clear. Mm-hmm. And so that was that moment. Cause I knew, like you said, it was the flesh versus the Holy Spirit. It was the God, please help me. I don't want to do this anymore, but it's so hard. Like, I'm trying to stop, but I've become so used to it. Like, and then you become like, well, now I can't sleep like normal, and now I can't eat like normal because I've become dependent on these things. And so it was a battle back and forth where I was like, I don't want to do it anymore. As I went through the sanctification process, I don't want to do this anymore, God. Like, help me to not fall into temptation. And it was this battle. And when he said that, it was like the clarity moment where it was like, you will not be blessed until you're of a sober mind. And that, I think that was the moment where it was like that battle became, there was a clarifying moment where it was like, it's on you. Like, I'm going to help you, but this is just the truth. This is the hard truth that you're going to have to hear this, because like we said, you can justify it. I could justify it. Well, I'm just doing it for this. I'm just doing it at this time now, not as much as I was. So, but that clear, you will not be blessed until you're sober mind. That was the moment.
Why do you think God whispers to you to communicate with you?
I think it's because he wants me to really listen. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that God has chosen to whisper to your generation amongst and amidst all the various voices that could be gathered from literally anywhere in the world about anything in the world, about anybody in the world?
Yeah, I think God whispers to me because he wants me to be always ready and listening, because there can be so much, the fast-paced life that I live, there can be so much that I'm thinking or going through, processing in my mind, that he wants me to always be prepared. Like, I'm going to whisper, and if you're not listening or if you're distracted, you're not going to hear it. So just to always be prepared. But I think that's interesting that you say that, because it makes me think of this, but I think there's a Jesus revolution beginning in our generation. And there's a whisper. There's, to everyone, believer or not, I think that there's a whisper. And then with that whisper becomes a battle or an acceptance or a denying of it. And I think that with the whole of our generation, like the our truths thing, or like that's, or this is my truth, or this is my thing, like you're denying that whisper and saying, well, this is my truth. And like but I think we're all hearing it, because I've noticed this with our generation, that because things have become so accessible, it's, and maybe this isn't the right word, but it's not taboo anymore. Like for your generation, like you had to go in and you had to probably memorize a whole magazine and trade it off to your buddies to remember something. We don't have to do that anymore. We have full access. We can get drugs of almost any kind. We can get alcohol and we can get pornography and we can see people killing each other on social media and we can see some of the most horrific things you will have never seen. We have access to all of it. And because we have access to all of it, we've done it. We're and like I said on the last one, the innocence of not doing it, we are not ignorant to it anymore. We've done it. There's no like question like, what is this like? We know what it's like. And because there's that God-shaped hole, we're like, we want to fill it with something that actually helps, with something that works. Because you get to a point, the law of diminishing return, you're like, well, I have to keep taking more drugs to get this same feeling. And then you don't feel it anymore. And you go, now what do I go to? So at some point, you go, what's going to just fix all of this? And then when you go to God, you go, oh my God, it's been him the whole time. He blankets over everything. He surrounds me in every area. He fills every void. He exudes from me. But until you have that, I think that's that Jesus revolution. But everybody's feeling whispers now where they're like, I'm searching. And I think he's whispering and he's calling. He's like, hey, so you know, I'm here.
You know, I think too, for many generations, we've lost the reverence and respect for God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore we have an ignorance in us about what authority is.
Yeah.
Because when the God of the universe said, let there be, there was. Like, there wasn't no playing around. Like, he didn't get that word out of his mouth, and boom, there it was.
Yeah.
And I think when you start talking about that kind of power and that kind of love and that kind of intent for humanity and mankind, and so far to go to the intimate piece of being concerned with every person on the earth.
Yeah.
We've forgotten that bit about real true power, real true authority, that the King of the universe wants to whisper in our ear and tell us things that nobody else knows.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you say that. You talk about love too, and his love and his authority and his, because this is something that, as I read through the New Testament and had done like a study on it or a Bible study on it and like had written down notes on all of it. And a common theme was God's love. And I want to write a book on this. Like I want to write something on this thing, like really like discern and decipher and go through this and figure it out. Because when I went through it, I was like, there is so, his love encompasses so much. Like how can the word love that we use does not do justice in the slightest to what his love is. And so it's like, when I think about his love, I would see stuff where it's like, he's blessing these people with his love and he's providing for them, but he's also stern. He's also a God who's going to tell you when you're doing something wrong and go, this isn't going to, like with my thing, like you're not going to be blessed if you do this. And that you can go, well, that's mean. Well, that's mean. Why would you allow me to struggle with it if I can't get something because of that struggle? And it's like, but that's love, like a parent. Like, if I do this, then this is the consequence because they love me. Because when I grow up, I'll learn and go, oh. And so that's just interesting that you say that. And that is his authority. But, I mean, authority and those type of roles in society have changed now too, whether it's in a family where it used to be father, mother, and now it can be father, father, or mother, mother, or single parents. And they think, well, this is better. I don't need another person. And like, you need both. You need a dad and a mom.
Why is it that we as humans feel like we can dictate to God about his own creation? I've always wondered that.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Always wondered.
I think maybe because we think we hold more power than we do, and our ego can take over. And I think, like we talked about, our sensibility versus truth. It makes sense that God wouldn't be, and this is like everybody that's like anti-God will say, like, why would he use like this type of warfare where they're doing these things, or why would he punish people for different things? And it's like, because he is God, and like for us to make sense of it, right. It's not truth.
So. I think too, a lot of that gets twisted.
Yeah, exactly.
By the lack of understanding of what absolute truth really is. Yeah. Like, why does God create bad things to happen to people? Well, first off, he didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, he created everything. It was good for God to say it was good. But there was this thing in man called disobedience. Mm-hmm. And Adam was passive with his purpose.
Yeah.
You know, I often wonder, and this is where I want to go to wrap it up with, is Paul clearly says that Adam sinned. Not Eve. Adam sinned.
Yeah.
Adam did. He did. And I've often wondered, I've thought about that, and I thought, and there's a lot of conjecture out there about this. But if I narrow it down to this, and there's some question about whether or not Adam was there when Eve did take the fruit. The scripture says he was there.
Yeah.
He was with her.
Yeah.
So we've got to narrow down, what did he do? He was passive with his purpose. God purposed him to live in the garden. Go do whatever you want, but don't do this. The one thing, you had one job to do, Adam. What did you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was passive with his purpose assigned to him by God, his Father. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we know what Scripture says, so we look at what Scripture says. We don't try to find something obscure or weird. Yeah. We just know that Eve took the fruit, gave it to her husband. Her husband was with her. He was told before she was even created, this is what you can do. Don't do this. Do this. So there was some point in that mix where he got passive with the instruction of his Father and the purpose of God on his life, and he let things go that shouldn't have gone. He didn't use his authority that God gave him in creation to rule and reign over all paradise, to do it all. And this woman, she's here to compliment you and to be with you.
Yeah.
Like, she's not the enemy.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, let's wrap this thing up with talking to men now about crucifying passivity and picking up purpose, being empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that.
Yeah. Wow.
So spit your wisdom out on that.
Yeah. Well, I talked with Becky, you know, that we do Journey to Wholeness and stuff. A little shout out, Journey to Wholeness.
Journey to Wholeness.
But I was talking to Becky about some stuff, and we had talked about how I think that I had become passive when it comes to what, I believe something, and people know I believe something, but when an opportunity arises, what do I do? And we kind of came to the thing that I was being passive with my care for other people, because I was thinking of how they would think, or thinking of how they would feel, or thinking of different things like that regarding them. I wouldn't think about myself and what I wanted to do in that moment. So our thing was, like I said, when someone reaches their hand out to me and offers me something, and they have that hand out with that opportunity, a lot of time I would not want to do it or not believe to do that, but then would be passive with it and would just, their hand was open, and so I would grab it. And I just said this thing while we were talking about it, and it kind of stuck, was when I have something that I believe, am I going to hold that within my hand open or closed fist? If I believe I'm not going to be blessed unless I'm of a sober mind, I'm not going to do drugs, I'm not going to smoke, I'm not going to, and God told me that. If I have that with an open hand, and I have that idea and that belief, and I hold that out with an open hand, when someone reaches out their hand for mine, my hand's already open. My hand, they can easily pull my hand away, and I'll be passive and go into that. But if I'm strong and I'm not passive with just holding it open and being like, well, this is what I believe and this is what it is, if I'm strong about it and I have a closed fist and I go, this is what I believe, this is what I'm going to do, when that open hand comes out, my hand's not open to get pulled away. there's not the opportunity for that closed fist to reach into that open hand. And so I think with the passiveness, it's like, believe what you believe, know what you know what God says, know what God's told you, and live within that. And if you're and being passive, you can think that you're not being passive because you believe something until you enact it. You know, I think it's the same with sin. It's like, it's not a sin to have a human thought, to be aroused by something, or to be, because that's human. But when you act on it, that is the sin. And so I think it's the same with that passiveness. Mm. It's not a sin to have that, or it, not a sin, but it's not to be passive and to think that, or to feel that way, and to have that open hand. You can't be passive. You got to be closed fist, and you got to decide, I'm not going to let that happen. Mm.
So in your life, you've got a great father. Mm-hmm. You got a great mom. Outside that family circle, you have great grandpa, great grandma, mm-hmm. both sides.
Yeah.
Like you've got like a lot.
Yeah. Been blessed.
A lot.
Been blessed.
A lot. And they're all alive and they're all thrive. They're all good.
Good.
Like
yeah.
Everything's good.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, you've got uncles, mm-hmm. as does Aubrey. You've got friends. You've got people who walk in step with you in your walk.
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of that's been availed you by your family, your mom and dad. Like, and some of the benefits that you've had are great gifts. Yeah. And there are great influencers in your life.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Right now, there's a lot of guys listening to this podcast who grew up without a dad.
Yeah.
There's wives listening who have husbands that grew up without a dad, a good dad, and they don't have the influencers in their lives.
Yeah.
So for a minute, use your young man wisdom here, some fresh eyes on this, and speak to this one thing. It's what God said about orphans and fatherless. He said, I'll be your father.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've had the beautiful privilege of, and your grandpa. Your grandpa, they're both characters, I'll tell you. But some guys who grew up fatherless didn't have men in their life to point them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Like you did. So talk for a minute about, even with all these good influencers, how God was always to wrap it up. He was always persistent.
Yeah.
But never forcing. Talk to us how to lean into God, and then I'll wrap it up with how to find some influencers in your life if you don't have them.
Yeah. Well, man, I think it is true, and I've been so blessed with all the people that I've had in my life. The good influences and the coaches and the uncles and the, you know, my dad and all that stuff. But and I can kind of get wrapped back to it, but there's a God-shaped hole in everybody. And I guess that would then lead to there's a father-shaped hole in everybody.
It's very good.
And to have all those relationships, you also need God how do you find that? You find it by reaching out to him, by, you know, because he is persistent. But if I'm not listening, it's muted. His attempts are, I'm blinded. The enemy wants to blind me. He wants to hide my eyes and close my ears from what God's trying to show and have me hear. And so if I'm not persistent back, then the enemy is going to be persistent, that God's persistence will be covered. And so I think God is going to be persistent, but you have to be open, and you have to be ready. You have
That's
to
good.
Be open hearted and open mind. Otherwise you're not even going to notice that his persistence, because it's not forceful.
Yeah.
It's a relationship. You know, you will always have your Heavenly Father because he created you. Just like you can always have a father that created you, but he may not be in your life. Mm-hmm. You're not forced to have a relationship with your parent because they gave birth to you, like God created you. But it's a relationship. It's a covenant. It's a two-sided thing. And if you want God to do his part, he'll do it. I mean, he will do it, mm-hmm. but you have to do it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Very wise young man.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we'll have to do this again.
Yeah.
Next time you zip in here.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a guy who grew up without a dad, there's two things self-evident. One, you need a father. Two, God is that offering for you, but you've got to seek him and pursue him. And you can't do this thing alone. It's simply in no way, shape, or form is it even possible. So there's ways to find men. The easiest way is if you have a community of faith, look for older, wiser men. But look for men who are seeking after God, who are seeking a relationship with their father. For more information on all that and more information about Father Seekers and all of the information, content, and podcasts we have, go to fatherseekers.org, fatherseekers.org. Again, this is Barry Edgman with Father Seekers, and you've been listening to the podcast, Teach Me to Father.